This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStewart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
We do pray for healings, reconciliations, and for deliverance and salvation for our families this Christmas season. In reference to Christmas, I do want to say that it is appropriate for us to celebrate the birth of Christ, Jesus Christ. It's totally appropriate. We do not celebrate the day on the calendar any more than any other day where we would celebrate the birth of Christ, because we don't actually know the date on the calendar. And so I know that there are some opinions that say Christmas is a pagan celebration, and I want to assure you that probably even in the world, if you ask most people, what is Christmas a celebration of? I believe most would say the birth of Christ, even if they were not raised in a church. And so for those who endeavor to make this season a time of a pagan holiday, I would simply say you must be misinformed. Because in our house, this was always about recognizing the birth of Christ, and that God so loved this world that he gave his only son that we might have life and have it abundantly. I came across this statement that Philip Morrison wrote, and he said, when I was growing up in church, he was in one of the churches that did not celebrate Christmas. And so he said, when I was growing up in church, we didn't celebrate the birth of Christ at Christmas time, because we weren't sure that that's when he was born. But he went on to say, but we also didn't celebrate at other times of the year because we would have felt out of place. He said, I heard a lot about Jesus' teaching and about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, but he was in a church that didn't talk about his birth. And he came to say, what a shame. What a shame. And think of this, if we are going to talk about the importance of the death of Christ and the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the return of Christ, we must celebrate the birth of Christ. And so this is simply a day that we do that, and we do it without any scriptural issue that would tell us not to. And so I believe it's totally appropriate that we would celebrate Christmas at this time, and I believe it's a wonderful celebration that we have together. I don't know if you've ever sat down and just wondered, what would the world be like if there was no Christmas, if Christ had not come? What would our lives be like? And I would encourage you to perhaps sit down and make some notes about that sometime. I did that some years ago. And I wrote, these are some of the words I wrote at that time. Can you think of a world without light? I mean, if there's no God, there's no light, because God created light. So if there's no God, there's no light. The atheist says there's no God. Can you think of a world without grace or mercy or love or forgiveness? How important those are in our lives. Can you think of a world that there is never a loving touch, never a hug, never a kiss? You see, As I'm writing this, I'm thinking, what would the world be like and what would life be like if there was no birth of Christ and no gift of life? Can you think of a world without joy, without laughter, without music? Those are all things I deeply love. Can you think of a world without beauty, without the joy of children, the sound of children on the playground playing? Can you think of a world without ever having any peace? If you take God away, there is no peace. There's no option for peace internally or externally if there is no God. If there is no God, can you imagine a world without sleep? Because rest is a gift of God. If you're able to sleep and rest and be restored, this is part of God's gift. Without God, there would not be any rest. Can you think of a world without the love of a family, of friends, and no faith? No faith. The fact that you're sitting in a seat this morning, did any of you pick your chair up and turn it over to find out if it looks structurally strong enough to carry you? Or did you simply sit down because you are a person of faith? Some say, those of us that believe in God, that we are weak-minded and that we need a crutch, and that's why we have a faith. But actually, all of us are blessed by having a great measure of faith. In fact, I don't know about you, but for me, those who do not believe in God, I believe they must exercise some misplaced faith in a horrendous way, but they do have it. Can you think of a world without any kind words? Never a thank you. Never any kind thoughts. Never any kind deeds. Can you think of a world that would be completely consumed and filled with constant anger and fear and pain and perversion? Sort of sounds like the news today, because many in the world have decided they choose not to receive the gifts of God. Can you think of a world with a constant reminder of every sin, wicked thought, and missed opportunity? A world that is only filled with regrets. A world without God would be that kind of a world. Can you think of a world that's permeated with the fragrance of spoiled, rotting flesh? You say, well, why do you say that? Because Jesus said that we're to be salt and light. The light shows people the way. This is the gift of God. The salt stops the rot. So the godly and the righteous actually hold back the plans and intentions and the evil that Satan would dish out for our planet. Can you think of a world that's filled with screams of tormented souls? That's a world without God. Actually, that's what hell will be like. Can you think of a world that's filled with liquid fire and torment? Again, that's a description of hell. Can you think of a world that would never give you another new beginning? I do so love the promise of God, and that is that the mercies of God are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. If you can think of a place such as this place, then perhaps you have a bit of a glimpse into eternity without God. Eternity is a long, long time. Well, as we ponder these things, we remember that Jesus came to give us life and give us life more abundant. I'm going to read from the prophet Isaiah for the first scripture this morning, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9 verse 6, one of those prophetic, messianic prophetic scriptures. For unto us a child is born. You could almost say it, couldn't you, without turning there. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. And the government will rest upon his shoulders. These will be his royal titles. Listen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Totally different from all those descriptions I just shared with you. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those are all descriptive names that tell us exactly who the Messiah is and what his mission would be all about. And of course, we could go to Luke chapter 4 where Jesus reads from the scroll and talks about opening blind eyes and breaking the chains and setting captives free and ushering in not just a dated year of Jubilee, but a season of Jubilee, which is what the birth of Christ brought to us. Yes, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, his ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. Now I'm going to take you to the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, we are going to look at a few verses, starting in chapter 4 and chapter 5, and then we're going to go to chapter 22. Revelation 4 and 5, and then we'll go to chapter 22. Revelation chapter 4, I want to bring your attention to verse 11, which says, "You are worthy." You remember this passage wherein the question is raised. They're looking for someone who is worthy to open the scrolls. And the word is, "You are worthy, O Lord, our God." The emphasis here in chapter 4 initially is given directly to God the Father, I believe contextually. "You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power." Sort of sounds like the titles that were given to Jesus, right? And of course, it is most definitely the same. But look at the rest of this verse. "You are worthy, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everything." Now we know God created everything, right? But this morning on this celebration of the birth of Christ, I want you to recognize why he created everything and to find your name in that creation. For you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. I know the philosophers try to figure out, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Try to figure out those things which only God has the answer to. But the answer is very clear, and it's right here, that everything God created is for God's pleasure. Now think about the things that the enemy, that wickedness would promote for pleasure. The enemy desires for people to spend their whole life searching for purpose and value by pursuing pleasure when the pleasures of the world can never provide that. God redeems us, forgives us, delivers us, and then fills us, and then we have value, and then we have fulfillment, and then we have joy, and then we even experience that emotion that's called happiness. Remember that song, Be Happy? Be happy. Don't worry. I believe I read that the individual who wrote that song took his life. Be happy, don't worry. He wrote a song, perhaps to himself, desiring to somehow build a bridge between the struggles in his own internal thoughts with himself and reality, desiring somehow to create something that every aspect of his life failed to provide him, which can only be found in Christ Jesus. For you created everything. It is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. You are a part of that. This is why every life matters. This is why one of the reasons we can see in the Word of God why abortion is a direct attack against the creation of God. And abortion is Satan's plan to destroy God's plan. And every life matters, and every life is created by God, and every life has purpose, and you have purpose, and I have purpose, and we're here on purpose, and we are here to bring God pleasure. And so then there's the great gulf between a holy God and a fallen world of inhabitants who are separated from a holy God who created us for His pleasure, but God is not able to fully delight and bless His creation because of this huge gulf of sin that is there. But then there is Christmas, and the people who lived and walked in darkness are able to see the light. And aren't you glad it's not that we just see light, but we are able to receive light. And the light of God is the life that He gives. And so God restores us back to that place of created favor. And we were made, we are not only made, but we are existing for His pleasure as well. The enemy would have killed all of us before we ever surrendered to Christ if he could have. But God said, oh no, I made that one and that one and that one. I made them for my pleasure, and I will protect their life. I will guard their life. I will deliver their life until they come to receive the gift of life through my Son. Yes, God created us, and He is worthy to receive glory and honor. But then as we move to chapter 5 of Revelation, we read that there's a new song that is sung. See, all the way up, the prophets, they had revelation, but many people didn't understand. But then with the birth of the Messiah, there is a new song that is now a part of the celebration. Yes, here we find this song is directed to Yeshua, to Jesus, the Messiah. And this song is, you are worthy to take the scroll and to break its seals and to open it. And we should say, soon come. Going to happen soon. You are worthy. And then it defines exactly how and why descriptive of how that worthiness was accomplished. And here it is. We know the why for the whole creation. It's because God made us for His pleasure. But now we see that Jesus, Yeshua, is worthy, for you were killed and your blood has ransomed people for God. Some years ago, as we were in the Stuart Parade, we had a cross as a part of our Christmas celebration in the parade. And some people said, what does the cross have to do with Christmas? The cross has everything to do with Christmas. And it has everything to do with the worthiness of our Messiah. Because the new song is about that. You are worthy to take the scroll. You're worthy to break its seals. You're worthy to open it. For you were killed and your blood, here it is, your blood has ransomed. That's a word for purchasing. Payment in full. Debt is fully canceled. For you were killed and your blood has ransomed people for God. Yes. People for God. God so loved that whosoever, the offers whosoever. It's a whosoever offer, but let me remind you this morning that if you have any desire to know God and to serve God and to be a part of His family, it's because God has personally chosen you and called you and ministered to you, and you are indeed one that God has chosen to find pleasure in, one in whom the shed blood of Christ has been made fully available. Yes, the new song. The new song is, you are worthy to take the scroll, break its seal, open it, for you were killed and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language. This is going to include every nation, every tongue that has ever existed. The family, the multitude that has redeemed will come from many tongues, but they will come, and even those who have not yet received a heavenly tongue here will end up with a heavenly tongue there. And we will all be able to speak and understand together. Yes, from every tribe, every language and people and nation. So please recognize this. There's not any nation or tongue that's cursed beyond redemption. Redemption is indeed a whosoever will. And you have caused them, who? The ransomed. That Jesus died and paid the full redemption price for, you have caused them to become God's kingdom and His priest. When someone said that this season on earth for us is training for reigning, indeed said it right, because this new song is about the one who is worthy, Yeshua, who gave His life, shed His blood, redeemed us, purchased us, so that we could be a part of His kingdom and His priesthood. David was a uniquely gifted servant of God. He was not all that perfect. And incidentally, shocker, neither are you, nor am I. He was not that perfect, but he did have a perfect Redeemer. And even though it was long before the Messiah would come, he was able to speak prophetically of the coming of the Messiah, and he was able to look ahead. But God loved David, and David was one that was able to celebrate and dance, and some would make fun of him. His wife would make fun of him and say that he was disgraceful in the joy that he had, because somehow David got a hold of who he was in Christ long before he knew anything about the Messiah. You see, they didn't understand it all. David didn't understand it all. But there was a joy in the forgiveness and the freedom that he had in following God and coming to God and being forgiven. But this new song is for those who are redeemed as well to join in. And you've caused them to become God's kingdom and his priest. So we're kings and priests if you're reading from a different translation. And they will reign. What's in your future? You're going to be reigning. Reigning. Look at this. And they will reign on the earth. I plan to come back with Yeshua when he comes back to straighten things out. I plan to be a part of that great army that are going to be on those white horses that are coming back, and we will no longer have torment or test or temptations by the enemy. Incidentally, the last offering Satan can take is when you take your last breath, and he's there to try to torment you right up to that moment. But that moment is not a moment of death. It is a moment of eternal life where you step into glory. Yes. And they sang a mighty chorus, verse 12. Well, I guess I should read verse 11. Then I looked again and I heard the singing of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders, and they sang. Who's singing? Oh, the angels are singing. Who else is singing? Well, all the living beings that are around the throne. Who else is singing? The thousands and millions that are there. And we will sing there. This song, they sang a mighty chorus. The Lamb is worthy. The Lamb who was killed, he is worthy, here we go, he is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He is worthy. And so I've never preached a Christmas message out of Revelation, but I want you to know, as I anticipate his return and I'm looking for him to come soon, I want to be practicing the song, the new song that is the song of the saints. The Lamb is worthy.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."